And now, back to the Grillin' Guys Show.
With the Grillin' Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Shooting sauce on ribs is what men do. We like meat, and no tofu. With me and Job, it never gets dull. The grill's so big, it's like a ship's hull. Grillin' Guys, I'll tell no lies. Do some great things to chicken thighs. When we're at the grill, smoking up a rack, a little taste is just like crack. We're backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody grills a T-bone faster. So when you see the Grillin' Guys rig, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. So check us out, and have no doubt, the Grillin' Guys will make the crowd shout. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up the grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You gotta listen to the Grillin' Guys Show. That's it.
Welcome back. It's the Grillin' Guys. Thanks for tuning in. Happy Memorial Day weekend. Don't forget the reason for the season. We need to pay tribute to those that gave the ultimate sacrifice for us, and we certainly are.
And make sure you look up the proper protocol for flags, saluting, and just what the whole thing's about.
Hats.
Because it's not just about drinking beer and making hot dogs.
No, and we're actually, Bob, Lisa and I are going to make a loop to our parents' graves.
Very her, common
her parents and
also.
her father and my father are both veterans. And
that's cool.
So we're going to go pay a little tribute.
That's a great
this weekend.
Idea.
Yeah, something wouldn't we try to do it every year. So that's good. But
so you know, talking about alternate cooks, I guess the idea came from the sous vide, but then I started thinking of all the other things that we probably don't touch on quite enough, and one of them, and I gave you my my Brazilian grill, so it has a bunch of spits on it.
That might get a little work this weekend.
Yeah. So using a spit, it's underutilized. A lot of people get a rotisserie for their grill, and they never put it on, never use it.
So those two terms are synonymous. When you think of spit, you probably don't think too much of grilling, but a spit is the nickname for a rotisserie. Where it came from, no idea.
Yep.
But if you hadn't heard that before, though, that's what he's talking about.
I think because a lot of guys would grab them with their hand and they'd burn them and they'd have to spit on their
hand.
Yeah,
right. Good one.
So one of the things you can put on there that's kind of not thought of a lot is any old type of ham you want to get. A boneless is going to be your better bet because you can
get the rod
maybe get it through it. But if you have the forks on the sides, you might be able to manage it also, and your counterweight's going to come in handy. But using a spit to roast the outside of something like that is wonderful. And you can then, of course, get your basting brush out, which is also not used enough, and make up something with typically a little brown sugar and cloves like that.
A little bourbon.
Pineapple. Yeah, rum. So a ham works very, very good.
So let me ask you, when do you baste? So
every
most
5
people,
minutes.
Yeah, but most people don't buy raw hams. They're gonna
There's
buy
no such thing.
A cooked ham.
Right.
Well, I mean, you could buy the ham
you
butt.
You can get a rear quarter.
Right, a rear quarter, and where the ham comes from. But it's going to be a processed ham in some sort form or fashion. So you're not trying to cook it.
If it says ham, it's already cooked.
Right. You're not trying to cook it necessarily, but you're trying to heat it up.
Right.
Right.
And you want to braise the outside of it and make a nice kind of bark on the outside, and that's where your basting comes in, because you can caramelize the outside and it, you know, poke cloves in it if you want or what. Basically, it gives you a better presentation. It heats your meat. It adds a flavor profile to at least a third of the meat, because you'll never penetrate a whole ham.
So my question to you then is do you use a spiral cut or not? I know the answer, but I just thought we better make a point of it.
Well, typically the spiral cuts are already sugar-coated and whatnot, but I don't know why you couldn't.
Well, because as that, I've tried it once and I made the mistake. Okay, somebody gave me
apart.
One. Yeah. As it turned and warmed up, everything loosened up and it's just flopping around like, you know.
You'd have to put a lot of pressure on it and get those forks in.
Yeah,
no.
So where I'm going
so I'm
going to
take the cheapest one I can buy.
Right, and put a diamond cut on it, maybe with your knife, so that, you know, a half-inch cut, as it heats, it'll open up a little bit. Then your basting's got little places to get stuck, and it's all good for everybody.
Yep, and if your butcher sells them, chances are it's going to be a higher quality, And it's not going to be something owned by the Chi-Coms, which you don't want to buy Chinese ham.
Right.
So another great muscle to put on there is a loin of any type. Now, a lot of you hunters out there might still have a back strap in the freezer.
Right.
Wonderful use for your spit.
Right.
Because that is a really lean piece. It's going to need basting. You're going to have an event now because everybody wants to see that thing going around and around, right?
Right.
And you don't have to shut your lid. It probably won't shut if it's like most grills. So you're going to have a great demonstration there, and you can make up whatever kind of basting marinade you want, or you can buy them.
Right.
You're famous for buying them. You've turned me on to a whole bunch of great ones that Lowry's makes.
Right.
Those are wonderful profiles. And for a back strap, it's going to need all the help it can get because it's very, very lean.
Yeah, put some oil on that even to crisp it up a little bit.
Yeah, but typically your marinades are going to have something like that.
Right. So let's talk. I'm going to take a little diversion and we'll get back to the other cuts of meat. You just mentioned something that I think is worth discussing a little bit. Is you've got the lid open.
Yep.
Okay. Two things are going to happen. If you're cooking with charcoal, your fire is going to get really hot because it's going to suck up all the air it can. And so be careful not to have your fire too close to the piece of protein that you're cooking because
it'll
burn. So
maybe use briquettes.
Right. Yep. But because we're lump guys. We're lumpy, but we're lump charcoal guys. And it'll get really hot. The second thing is if you've got wind, your cook time's going to double. Okay? Because the wind, while it'll make your fire hot, it'll suck the heat right out of that thing. And it takes you extra time to get things done.
Good point. And a lot now, you're assuming charcoal.
Well,
but a lot of guys have grills with the infrared burner backplate for the rotisserie.
Right.
And that's a wonderful way to do it because your juices are dripping into the bottom and you put a catch pan down there and you just keep basting it and you've got that radiant infrared heat coming sideways at it. Works really, really nice.
Yeah, ideal.
Yeah.
That's ideal.
But if it is charcoal, you're going to want to get your fire going good and hot and then take a shovel or something and move your coals to the front away from that rotisserie.
Out from under the meat.
Yes.
Right.
So that your grease and stuff's not dripping down and flaring up or putting out the fire or whatever.
Right.
So if you're basting it enough, you could put your fire out. So
right. Because it'll drip. It won't all stick.
Move those coals to the front. Another great way to use a spit is to do it like they do in Brazilian steakhouses. Have you ever been to one?
Yeah, where they carve at the table?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what you'll see with the Greek process or whatever, they'll slice
Brazilian.
They'll slice a bunch of meat, and like for a gyro, it's veal, lamb, whatever they like, and then they stack them together. They put some vegetables in between sometimes, and you make this beautiful composition of meat. And you can even use beef and
they're
lamb.
They're pressed pretty hardly together. Right.
But if you're doing the veggies between them and you're just doing you can just put your veggies between them and you don't have to compress them like for a gyro. But talk about a presentation. You stack a bunch of stuff on a spit and put some green and red peppers in there and onion and pineapple, whatever you want. That is a gorgeous, we're talking YouTube video now, because that is going to be a gorgeous presentation. And then what you can do if you really want to show off, and who doesn't want to, that's why you bought the grill.
Right, yeah.
You take that whole spit over to the table, and you start carving it over the plates like the gauchos do in a Brazilian steakhouse.
Sure.
And that is cool.
Have a sharp knife.
And try not to poke anybody.
Right, have a sharp knife. That's what I'm saying, because it'll slide on you. If you aren't careful.
There's a chain of Brazilian steakhouses called Fogo de Chao.
Yep.
And if you have one in your area and haven't been there, go.
Yeah.
Go.
What a treat.
Because those gauchos are going to be carving. You just put your flag up, you get another hit, and I'm telling you, they don't do anything poorly at Fogo de Chao.
Right. Yep, I've
That's
been to one of those
too.
Probably
the biggest chain.
Yeah, I don't know where we have one around us. But
I don't know. It might be one in Detroit.
Yeah, but really cool, really cool Brazilian steakhouse.
So if you want to open a restaurant, Brazilian steakhouse, there's an idea.
Yeah, cool, man. Well, coming up next, Barbecue Bob. I see we're going to be talking about maybe cooking on a pit. Whether you bought one or you got to make one at home, there's a way and there's a will. So get her done. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
Fen Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fenville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine. Fen Valley Vineyards.